Choir, we're going through 2 Kings, and we worked our way up to chapter 19. Chapter 18 ended with representatives from the southern kingdom having just returned to give some sad news to King Hezekiah. The king of Assyria had sent his army and some of his high officials, you know, down to Judah, and his purpose was to intimidate the southern kingdom. I think his ultimate goal was to bring such fear upon Judah so they would just surrender without even wanting to put up a fight against Syria. And you know, this is just what the devil wants to do in our lives. He wants us to get discouraged and so filled with fear that we'll just stop wanting to live out our Christianity. He doesn't want us invading his kingdom of darkness, you know, with the powerful light of God's truth. So he works hard to try and discourage us. But we're going to see in our this text today that we're going into this next chapter how to guard ourselves from allowing his discouragement that is aimed at us, from getting us, you know, to back off or to get us to just want to quit. So if you're already discouraged and you're thinking about giving up on the good fight of faith, you know, this chapter should really fill you with hope. And as we into the next chapter, remember it's more important to please our Lord than it is to please anybody else in the world. You know, we must come to a place in our life where we make that decision. Am I going to care more about what the Lord thinks, or am I going to care more about what people think? And that's a good question to chew on as we get started in our study today. We're going to look back into chapter 18 at the end of it to get the feel for what's going on. So if you want to look at chapter 18 of 2 Kings, down to verse 33, this is one of the intimidating statements that was given to Judah. Has any of the gods of the nations at all delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? And you continue on, verse 34 says, jump to verse 35, I'm sorry. Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But the people held their peace, and they answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was, do not answer him. That's what King Hezekiah had warned the people ahead of time. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. So we said this last time, you know, these guys had a broken heart. That's what their clothes were torn for. And we might have a broken heart from the enemy's words, but we don't have to surrender to his will. And you know that when we talk about the enemy, we're obviously talking about the devil coming against us as believers. Let's go on to chapter 19, verse 1. And so it was, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes. He covered himself with sackcloth, and he went into the house of the Lord. So this horrible news, it hit King Hezekiah hard. His first reaction shows us, you know, that his heart was broken. He tore his clothes as well. And it's interesting, it says he put sackcloth on too. The sackcloth was what people normally wore and covered themselves with when there was a death of someone that they were very close to. So outwardly, there was good reason to expect death and destruction. Assyria had conquered nation after nation, and that was part of the big speech they were given by the king of Assyria and the officials that he sent. And he had even captured all the fortified cities in Judah all the way up to Jerusalem. So here you have the most powerful army in the world at your doorstep, and they're all breathing death threats down the back of your neck. And to top that off, you know, Hezekiah must have felt so bad for his own wrong decision. Remember, he turned to Egypt for help, you know, and he knew better than that. But when they were really no help to him at all. So he knew by now that he had made a giant mistake by trusting in Egypt rather than trusting completely in the Lord. He also knew this wrong decision he made had allowed a lot of people to get hurt already. His heart was truly broken. And the message that he just received from his representatives there, It just added more weight to his pain that he already had. So where do you go from here when you feel so down that you can't get any lower? And it's true that Hezekiah was grieving over the evil words that had been spoken by the officials from Assyria, but he took his grief to the right place. You know, we're told there he went into the house of the Lord. Now, that's not only a great place to go when you're getting discouraged, it's the absolute best place to go. So whenever discouragement comes, and you know, guys, it's coming. If it hasn't come to you yet, we have an enemy, and he's working on you as well as he is on us here. So whenever discouragement comes and tries to overwhelm you, take it straight to the Lord. Draw close to the Lord. And that's exactly what King Hezekiah did. Now, this is a good place for a reminder. Remember that Hezekiah has been sold out for the Lord. He's one of the greatest kings that Israel had, next to King David. Some say he even rivaled King David with his heart for the Lord. Look back at chapter 18 and verse 5 for a second, as we're given a little bit of his testimony. And it's a powerful testimony that he had. Verse 5, it says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. So since the divided kingdom, he's the top of the list of the kings in their heart and their faithfulness to the Lord. And remember that he did what other kings feared to do, or at least they neglected to do. If you look at the same passage we're in chapter 18, look back to verse 3. It says, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places. He broke the sacred pillars. He cut down the wooden image and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. So this is an amazing testimony of what this guy did. And it wasn't just lip service. He showed by his actions that he truly was sold out for the Lord. You know, so why is it then that someone who is so faithful to the Lord, he can find himself being attacked by a ruthless enemy? You know, some people are led to believe that when you come to Jesus and you get saved, your troubles are over. But that's not true. Obviously, after you walk with the Lord for a while, you find out it doesn't quite work that way. We live in a fallen world. And now that we belong to Christ, we also have an enemy, the devil, who would love to destroy us if he could get away with it. The Lord's not allowing that, though. But listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. But thankfully, Jesus didn't stop there. He went on to say, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Man. Now, this is the beauty, the real beauty for us as believers in here is that we are now in Christ and he has overcome the world. So no matter whatever the world throws at us, even if it's a nasty curveball from the devil, we do not have to be afraid. You know, we do not need to be discouraged. That's why Jesus said that we can be of good cheer. You know, he was saying that we should take heart. We should be encouraged. And the reason is because he's got this, you know. He's overcome the world. What may seem to be overwhelming problems for us, and we have those, they're really no problem at all for our Lord and Savior. We just need to trust him to carry us through the tough times, and we do that by drawing closer to him, maybe even closer than we've ever been before. The Lord tells us in his word, what a blessed promise from the Lord, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You know, and just by you coming here today, and by those who are watching through the live stream, as you said, either now or later, you're drawing closer to the Lord. So be encouraged that he is drawing near to you as you're drawing near to him. He's promised us that, and that's so cool. And the Lord never makes a promise that he doesn't keep. So just know by faith that he is drawing near to you. And you can picture this by thinking of a loved one that comes to you for help when they're hurting. And what do? You come close to them. You put your arm around their shoulder to comfort them. And then you listen to what's troubling them. And then if you can, you reach out to help them. You know, our Lord is there for us all the time. You know, he draws even closer when we come to him with our troubles. Take a look at Psalm 34. This is one we've looked at recently, but it's such a good reminder. Psalm 34, and I know about you, I'm so blessed the Lord tells us these things. He didn't have to share these things with us, but he did. What a blessing. Psalm 34, look down to verse 17. Psalm 34 and verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and he delivers them out of, does it say a few of their troubles? No, all their troubles. Praise the Lord. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and he saves such as have a contrite spirit. And the word contrite really means crushed. So when you're at that lowest point, you come to the Lord, he's going to come near to you. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We kind of wish that verse wasn't in there, but you know, the Lord lets us know. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So man, if you need a passage to encourage you when you're going through those dark times, there you go. I mean, just chew on that for a while and let the Lord really speak to your heart. So we're going to see how the Lord did just what it says there for King Hezekiah as we go further. So back in our 2 Kings passage, chapter 19, if you look down to verse 2. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And Isaiah's been prophesying for a number of years by this time. So Hezekiah, he needs to hear from the Lord. And that's why he sends these trusted men to an established prophet. You know, you and I are so blessed in our time period because we have more than a prophet to run to. We've got the entire Word of God to turn to. We can, you know, prayerfully open God's Word. We can ask him to speak to us, and he will do that. You know, he wants you to hear from him. He wants to let you know he's there for you, that he's got this. So you can just get alone with the Lord. You can open up God's Word, and he is waiting to speak with you. That is so cool. Hezekiah here, he did what he knew he needed to be sure. He wants to hear clearly from the Lord and his time period. So he sent word to a faithful prophet, and he knew, I will hear exactly what God wants me to hear. We can do the same, like I said, with the word. Just go to it, and the Lord will speak to you. So verse 3 goes on. They said to him, so they went to Isaiah, and they're going to speak to him. Now this says, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. They blaspheme the Lord. For the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. In Hezekiah's message, he's saying that Jerusalem is like that unborn child that would be in very grave danger if his mother has used every last ounce of her strength to bring the baby this far, but she had absolutely no strength left to push the baby out of the birth canal. So he's saying Jerusalem was as powerless on its own to try and fight such a large and tenacious army of Assyria. He was saying that Jerusalem too could face death, just like that baby that was trapped inside the mother's body. So very quickly, Hezekiah's messengers were letting Isaiah know how desperate the situation was. And we have those times, right, when we've got a serious prayer need. We say, we need prayer right now. And we open that up on Wednesday night for just those things. So if you've got those needs, don't hesitate to bring them. Verse 4 goes on, it may be, they're continuing to talk to Isaiah, it may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, and that was a representative from Assyria, that was the mouthpiece for the king of Assyria there. It says, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God. And you will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. It says, therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So I think Hezekiah was expressing by his message here that he was hoping that the Lord had heard all the words of the king of Syria that were spoken against him directly, because this guy was speaking directly against the Lord with some of his speech he had. And I think Hezekiah was hoping that the Lord was now going to step in and rebuke this evil king. So that's what Hezekiah was asking Isaiah to do, to pray for the remnant that was left so that all wouldn't be wiped out, because that was a real possibility if God didn't step in and rescue them. This could have been the end of Israel. It's at that serious of a moment. You know, it's a good thing to realize that we are in over our head, and without the Lord's help, we truly are helpless. I mean, Jesus clearly told us that, because without him, he said, we can do nothing, right? But sometimes our pride doesn't want us to admit that. I mean, we think to ourselves, I know what I'm doing, and I think I can figure a way out of the mess that I'm in right now. But that's when we can make a foolish mistake, just like Hezekiah did when he trusted in Egypt rather than in the Lord. So I think, you know, if we want to avoid making an even worse mess than the one we started with, there's an easy test we can give ourselves to see how close we are to making a worse decision. We can simply ask ourselves, am I getting ready to lean on my own understanding rather than trusting in the Lord with all my heart? Because if that's where we're getting ready to do, to lean on our own understanding, then just realize that we're going to create a greater mess than the one we already started with. You know, it's like the little toddler that just spilled the syrup bottle on the floor, and then he decided to take his mom's favorite dish towel to try and wipe it up, rather than going to get his very experienced and wiser mommy and asking her for help. So, of course, he just spread the syrup further on the floor, besides getting his mom's favorite dish towel dirty and sticky. You know, he wound up with a bigger mess than he started with. And that all could have been avoided if he would have just asked his mommy, who was much wiser at cleaning up spills of syrup on the floor. So let's take a lesson from a very good King Hezekiah and from a very inexperienced little toddler that we can make things much worse if we don't seek help from someone who is much wiser than we are. Verse 5, it says, so the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. So it's simply saying they went and they delivered the message they were supposed to deliver. And, you know, I'm so impressed with these faithful men who simply obeyed their king. I mean, we don't see them arguing with him about maybe shoring up our troops and making sure that they've got enough weapons and ammo to defend our people. But these guys are willing to set those thoughts aside, you know, and simply go to him to get help in prayer. And you know what? Sometimes there's no greater thing than we can do than to go and get help in prayer. And that in itself is humbling, you know, because we're admitting that we can't do this alone. We even need the help of other strong believers. So I encourage you, swallow your pride and ask for help in prayer. You know, I can assure you that when you have serious needs, that you're not called to be a lone ranger when it comes to prayer. And we're told, you know, to carry each other's burdens. So there are other believers, people of prayer, who are there for you when you need their help. Please don't hesitate to get their help in prayer. That's why the Lord has them there for you. And don't feel bad about it either. We all need help at times like that. So you're not alone. And we're all helpless without the Lord. You know, so don't feel bad about getting a hold of your brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, and going to the Lord in prayer together. I know that I needed to hear that myself. So I know at least the Lord is speaking to me. I'm hoping he's speaking to everybody else here too to catch that one. Verse 6 says, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard and which the servants of the king of Syria have blasphemed me. What a precious word from the Lord. You don't have to be afraid. And then he went on to say that he heard the words of the blasphemy that was directed against him by the king of Assyria. So that meant that the Lord was letting King Hezekiah know that this battle wasn't his, but this battle belonged to the Lord. So the Lord was saying, you don't have to be afraid because I've got this. And I'm going to show you that I'm going to take the battle right out of these people. That's reading a little bit between the lines, but that's exactly what the Lord was going to do. You know, I said this last time we went in chapter 18, but it especially is a good time to repeat it when we get a passage like this. At some of the pastors' conferences that I've attended, we've been told that if we want to fight our own battles, the Lord will let us, but if we get out of the way, the Lord will fight the battles for us. And I found that it's so true. So that's what's happening right here in this passage. Look at verse 7. This is the Lord still speaking here through Isaiah. He said, "Surely I will send a spirit upon him, upon the king of Assyria. He shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." You have to see some of the humor here. The Lord doesn't need to give a really long speech to respond to the really long speech of the king of Assyria that's recorded in chapter 18. Don't you think it's funny when politicians do that? They're debating and they got to give a long speech to answer a long speech. The Lord doesn't need to go there. So the Lord just gives a short and sweet message that is directly to the point. The Lord says that he will supernaturally take care of the situation, and you can consider the problem solved. Don't you love that? Now, when you see the simple solution that the Lord gives, you might think to yourself, can it be that easy? I mean, here's a very powerful army here that is set and staged to fight. All they need is to be given the order to attack, and the battle is on. These guys are ready. What could possibly stop them in their tracks at that point and have them turn around and go home, having never drawn their sword to fight, and going home without a victory, I might add? I'm sure that's a new thing for this army. That probably has never happened. Well, the Lord has a simple, quick solution to make that happen. He will simply send one spirit upon the king of Assyria. Then he will let the king hear a rumor, apparently about something going on in his homeland or somewhere else that's more pressing that he has to go there. And I'm assuming that the spirit that he sent was going to help him believe that rumor, whisper in his ear, "Man, you better go. You better get going. You got to go." So, and that's going to cause him to take his troops and return home. But that's not all. The Lord also said that he was going to take the king's life once he is back home. But it won't even be a nice, quiet death from natural causes. It's going to be a violent death by the sword. So this is a lesson to all the people of the world for all time. You do not blaspheme the Lord God of Israel, and you do not threaten his people, because it will not end well for you. And as somebody said, you can take that to the bank. So some of the humor here is that the Lord doesn't need but a few words to respond to a long-winded speech by a big-mouth, bragging pagan king. But I see some more humor in what the pagan king was bragging about. In his long speech, if you remember that from chapter 18, he was boasting without end about how many of these gods of these other nations were helpless to protect their people from him, and how these many gods were unable to stop him, the great king of Assyria. But now he has run into this single God, the God of Israel, who is the true and the only true, and as it was stated earlier, the living God. But this single God is not only going to stop him and his invasion in their tracks, but this single God is going to end his life. So too, this is going to end all of his bragging and boasting. You see, people who shoot their mouth off about the Lord, they don't realize that the Lord will have the last word. And the last word of the Lord to these kind of evil people is bye. You know? And then they're done. But please, you know, don't hear this wrong. The Lord tells us in Ezekiel that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from the evil way and live. But if the wicked will not turn from their evil ways, then they will have to face the wrath of God. And that's what's going to happen here to the king of Assyria. Look at verse 8. Then Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he had heard that he had departed from Achish. And it says, and the king heard concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, look, he has come out to make war with you. So this guy, Rabshakeh, he returns to tell the king that he's delivered his message to the king of Judah. But when he gets there, he finds out that the king has moved his troops and is warring against some different people and not the Israelites. And then we're told why the king is doing this is because he had heard something. It was a rumor. And it was about this king of Ethiopia who was supposedly preparing to make war with the king of Assyria. So it goes on in verse 9. At the end there, it says, so he again sent messengers to Hezekiah. So the king of Assyria has got another message here, and he's got something to say. So the king of Assyria was afraid that Hezekiah might think that his city of Jerusalem was off the hook, and he might think it was his God who made that possible for him. So the king of Assyria is going to send another message to Hezekiah to try and keep him discouraged and afraid. Isn't it interesting that after you receive a promise from the Lord, you've been reading in his word, and he speaks to you about a promise right there, it stands out to you, and you know he's speaking to you. Right after you get that, that there are thoughts of doubt that come right after that. The enemy doesn't want us to experience the peace of the Lord, but he wants to keep us in fear, just like here. So be alert after you receive a promise from the Lord, and don't be surprised when the doubts come. Just stay calm and trust the Lord. Chapter 10, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah. Here's the hate mail he's sending back here. Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them, and you shall be delivered. It's kind of like, who do you think you are? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed, Gozan and Haran and Resph and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arphad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? So he immediately comes out against God and basically calls God a liar. Wonder who's behind that one, huh? He goes back to his bragging that he's destroyed many lands, but all their gods and all their kings couldn't deliver them. So those words would sound very scary, and they would sound pretty convincing. But if you have a promise from God, then you have nothing to fear. And I love Hezekiah's reaction to this letter. Look at verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. This is such a beautiful picture of trusting in the Lord. Hezekiah didn't respond in anger or fear, and he did not take this letter personally, meaning that he didn't let it get under his skin. He basically just let it run off of him, and he took straight to the Lord and gave it to him. God had already let Hezekiah know that this was the Lord's battle because the people had blasphemed him. He'd already let Hezekiah know that he didn't need to be afraid. So Hezekiah just simply trusted the Lord, and he believed what God told him to be true. If you made this promise, Lord, then I believe it. I'm not afraid, and I'm not going to step into this battle. I'm going to give it to you. So what a beautiful picture of faith. You know, our God is that same God. And he's told us that we can do the same thing. He tells us, you know, to cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us. So we can live in this place that comes by faith also. Isn't that beautiful and comforting? Verse 15, then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord, and he said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Man, don't ever forget that this is the God that we're praying to also. This is a great reminder to us. And it was important to Hezekiah, You know, that he gets his focus back on the power and might of his God. So he was magnifying the Lord, seeing how God is so much larger than any circumstances that he was facing. And we need to do that too, you know, lest we get distracted by our circumstances, and that can happen. And we end up neglecting to give our awesome God the prayer and the praise that he so rightly deserves. And that's what he's doing here. Go on to verse 16. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, that was the king of Assyria, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands. So he's not denying what's true there. And he said, and they have cast their gods into the fire, these false gods, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. So Hezekiah is not telling the Lord anything he doesn't already know, you know, but it appears that Hezekiah is just talking things over with the Lord. He was needing to just talk things through, and he knew that the Lord would listen and the Lord would hear him out. I mean, he's already focused on God. He's enlarged God. He's magnified the Lord. Now he's bringing the situation and consequences to the Lord, which the Lord already knows, but he needs to talk this through himself. You know, we need that too sometimes, to just talk things through. And there's no one better to do that with than the Lord. You know, he loves us and he cares for us so much. And he gives us the freedom to come to him and speak freely. I mean, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So don't ever, you know, hesitate talking things through with God. The Lord also tells us in James to be swift and slow to speak. So what do you think our Lord is like? He is swift to hear and slow to speak. So he's not going to rush you when you're talking to him. He's an amazing listener. You know, somebody said there are times when maybe we're in prayer and we got our prayer team going and somebody's thinking, I hope he gets done soon so I can pray my turn, you know, and stuff. And God's not like that. He's a great listener. He's very slow to speak. So verse 19 goes on. Now therefore, O Lord our God, he's still praying to the Lord, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Now he brings his knee here before the Lord. You know, he says, I pray, save us from this guy's hand. And then he expresses his heartfelt motive. And I don't know, I'm just wondering, I think Hezekiah has figured out why all this is going on. The Lord's bringing glory to himself by taking down this other king. So here's his heartfelt motive, that God would be glorified. You know, he wanted his people protected, yeah, that's for sure, but what he wanted most was for God to be acknowledged and glorified in all the world for who he is, the one and only true Lord God. How beautiful is that? And this is not a bad prayer to model yours after either. Verse 20 goes on, then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Now we're going to stop at this verse, but notice something here. Hezekiah prayed at the temple. He went to the house of the Lord. He went to the presence of the Lord. For him, that was where it was. But the Lord sent him a verbal answer back through Isaiah. It's kind of interesting if you notice that he was at the temple praying, but Isaiah wasn't there. He sent a messenger to him to let him know what God says about his prayer. So it's kind of interesting, but I think the Lord wanted to give assurance to Hezekiah that he was truly listening to him when he prayed. And as somebody said, I think you should underline in your Bible, or at least underline in your heart, these few words found in verse 20. Because you have prayed to me, I have heard. These should be some life-changing words for us, because the Lord's letting us know that when we pray to him And praise God, we don't have to go to a temple. He's with us all the time. His presence never leaves us. You can pray anywhere. But the Lord's letting us know that when we pray to him, things are happening in the situations that we're praying about. We may not sense anything changing, and others may not sense anything changing, but that doesn't mean a thing. Our prayers are having an effect on the situation. Never stop praying and never doubt. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Thank you for revealing these things to us. Lord, you let us know that the enemy's a liar. Our prayers are not just going out in the air and no one's listening. Lord, you tell us here that when we pray to you, you hear us. We can't thank you, Lord, enough for that alone. So, Lord, for things that have been on our heart, especially now that you're calling us to this intense prayer time, we are so grateful. Lord, thank you for the assurance you give us that we know when we pray, things are happening. And it's only because of you, Lord. It's not us. It has nothing to do with us. It's all about you. You are the God who made heaven and earth. How can anyone stand against you? Our enemies are helpless against you, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for the strength we have in Christ. Lord, thank you for this passage. Thank you for the encouragement. And we give you back all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.